Okay, so good evening, everybody. So Erev Tov, I want to share an idea tonight with you guys that I think is sometimes a little bit overlooked this time of year. So this time of year, 3 weeks, Bein HaMetzarim, between Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, much of the focus is on Avelus. Obviously, it makes sense. We are heading, at least last year, Tisha B'Av was a day of Avelus, the 3 weeks, 9 days. Shavua Shachalbo, Erev Tisha B'Av, of course. And that is an element of this time of year. And, of course, it's an element, maybe a major element, for Tisha B'Av. It's not the only element of Tisha B'Av, and it's certainly not the only element this time of year. And I want to stick to the time to the best of my ability, so I'm not going to read every source inside. But you see, for example, the first source is the Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Taneos tells us that all of these fast days, Shivasa B'Tammuz, and part of Tisha B'Av, and Asara B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, certainly Yom Kippur, but that's a different story. The reason why we fast is all, as the Rambam says, all because of tshuva, to emphasize, to focus, to channel these emotions towards tshuva. It is our job to make sure that this coming Tisha B'Av we're celebrating. Yeah, last year we mourned, last year we took off our shoes, last year we didn't greet each other, last year we didn't eat, last year we didn't wear tefillin in the morning. But this year the goal is to really turn Tisha B'Av, hafachta misbedi l'macholi, into a day of celebration. That's our job. The way we do that is through tshuva. And I wanted to focus on tshuva tonight, on an aspect, an element that perhaps, or a way, a perspective that we don't normally see. Before we start, though, I wanted to quote the Medrash HaGadol. You know that there's a lot of Midrashim. The largest collection of Midrashim is called Midrash HaGadol. That's why it's called Midrash HaGadol. A large selection of Midrashim. And this selection comes from the beginning of Parshas Truma. The beginning of Parshas Truma tells us of the mitzvah to build the Mizbach HaChitzon, the outer Mizbeach. We know that there's an inner Mizbeach. We know that the inner Mizbeach is made of gold. We know that the inner Mizbeach, no animals are ever brought there. So it's also called the Mizbach HaKetores. But the outer Mizbeach is called Mizbach HaChitzon. It's also called Mizbach HaOla, because the Korban Ola and other Korbanos, of course, are brought there. But it's also called the Mizbach HaNechoshes. And again, I'm not going to read everything inside because of time, but I just want to, as an introduction. So the Medrash says, everything in the Beis HaMikdash is made of gold. I'll say almost every kli. Not every single kli. Some kelim are made of silver. But gold or silver. Why, of all things, the Mizbeach HaOla, the Mizbach HaChitzon, the Mizbach HaNechoshes, why is it made of Nechoshes? Why is it made of copper? It seems strange. The focal point of our avoda doesn't seem to be appropriate to make it out of Nechoshes. And says the Medrash, and I'll just read the underlined part for you. The underlined part goes like this. Vilama nechoshes, and why would this outer mizbeach be built of nechoshes, says the Medrash. Lomar lecha ma nechoshes zu, afal pi shema'alis chaluda, even though, unlike gold and unlike silver, nechoshes can be rusty, can have rust on it. He, even though that happens, he mismarekes, it still can get polished, it still can get cleaned. Afal kach Yisrael, afal pi shehein chotin, imosin tshuva miskaper lahem. Powerful, powerful message and the focal point of the Beis HaMikdash, and the focal point of our avoda that we daven for all the time. And every single time we head to the Mizbeach, we remember, nechoshes. B'nai Yisrael can get rust. We can get rust on us. We can have sins. Rachman al-Itzlan. Everybody has sin. And the message of the Mizbeach is not to worry. Not to worry. You can be polished just like the Mizbeach can. Powerful message that we remember, we will remember every single time we go into the Beis HaMikdash. With that in mind, I want to share with you a Gemara that many of you know, maybe all of you know, and I want to talk about this Gemara. We'll read it inside. It's the Gemara. It's the third source down. The third source down on the first page. This is a Gemara from Chagiga. The Gemara goes like this. This is the story of Acher. Acher's real name was? Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was a major Tana. He was from the third generation of Tanaim. To give you an idea of who his Chaverim were Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tarfon was a little bit older, Rabbi Akiva, third generation. His major Talmud was? Good guess. I love the guesses. Wayne Gretzky, shot and a miss. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Mishnah Perkei Avos said it even before Wayne Gretzky. Rabbi Meir, outstanding. Rabbi Meir was the Tana. I saw somewhere who someone said, I can't verify it, but I saw that Rabbi Meir is the third most often quoted Tana in the entire Shas. Rabbi Meir's Rebbe was Elisha ben Avuya, and as we know, Elisha ben Avuya went off the derech, to say the very least. He mamish left. He left everything. And Elisha ben Avuya left everything, and he was his nickname, because he was literally he who shall not be named. His name became Acher, the other one. They didn't want to even say Elisha ben Avuya anymore. They wanted to call it Acher. They couldn't say his name anymore. And that's Acher, and that's Elisha ben Avuya, same person, Talmud Rabbi Meir, and now the Gemara says. And this Gemara in Chagiga, and Tesvav, Amar Aleph, Amar Beis, is all about Acher, much about Acher and Rabbi Meir, what caused him to go off the derech, we won't go into now, because I want to focus on one specific element. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, you see the brackets there? Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'aseh be'Acher, story of Acher. Shahaya rochev al asus b'Shabbat. He was riding his horse on Shabbos. Unbelievable. You and me today, picture the chief rabbi, Rachman al-Itzlan, driving a car on Shabbos. And the story gets even more powerful. And v'haya Rabbi Meir mehalech acharav lilmod Torah mipiv. So not only was the chief rabbi driving on Shabbos, but his window was rolled down, and Rabbi Meir was hustling next to him. They're mamish learning Rashi Tosfos on Shabbos. And the Gemara actually says, not here, I mean, yes here, but I didn't quote it. The Gemara says that Rabbi Meir looked at this situation, this whole different topic. He looked at this situation like somebody who eats a pomegranate. When you eat a pomegranate, you peel off the peel. Nobody needs the peel. The peel is bad. You throw it away. But inside, there's very good fruit. And that's what Rabbi Meir did. There was a Acher. And Rabbi Meir peeled off the stuff that he didn't listen to and talk about stuff that wasn't pertinent to him, but there was still Torah inside. Good. That's anyway. So he was learning from him on Shabbos. It's a crazy story. Says the Gemara, third line down, Amar Lo. So Elisha ben Avuya says to Rabbi Meir, says, Meir, third line down, Chazor le'acharecha, you got to turn around, because Shekvar shiarti beikve susi ad kan tum Shabbos. It's unbelievable. The story gets crazier. Rabbi Meir said, or I'm sorry, Elisha ben Avuya says, Meir, I know I'm driving on Shabbos. He's smoking. He's listening to the radio. It's unbelievable. And he's smoozing with his Talmud. And still the Rebbe says, I don't keep Shabbos anymore, but you do. And I measured the footsteps of my horse, and we reached Tum Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk 2,000 amos outside of a city, and we've gotten to 2,000 amos, you got to turn around. And says the Gemara, Amar Lo, so Rabbi Meir said back to his Rebbe, powerful turn, chillworthy, CW, it's chillworthy, it's a chillworthy story. Amar Lo, Af Ata Chazor Becha, you also please turn around. It doesn't mean turn around physically, or only turn around physically. Do tshuva. You're telling me, Rebbe, and the Gemara, and we're going to see a little later, the Gemara is Rebbe Meir, yes, learning from his Rebbe, but also asking his Rebbe, turn around. Turn around. You can still do tshuva. The Mizbeach is full of nechoshes. Everybody makes mistakes. Turn around. And the Gemara says, Elisha ben Avuya says back to his Talmud, V'lo kvar amarti lecha, Didn't I already tell you? Here you go. Pleasure. V'lo kvar amarti lecha, kvar shamati me'acharei apargod. I heard, literally, acharei apargod means I heard from behind the curtain. The pargod was the curtain around the Beis Hamikdash, around the Mishkan, but Acharei HaPargod is a euphemism for, and the Gemara calls it, and Rishonim called it a baskol. I heard a message from beyond the heavens. I got a message. I got a baskol. What did I hear? Lo kvar amarti lecha kvar shamati me'acharei HaPargod. Didn't I already tell you that I heard a baskol? Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me'ach. Lisha ben Avuya, that's the title of the shir. Lisha ben Avuya quotes two different psukim in Yirmiyahu. You'll see it's the next source down. Shuvu banim shovavim shovavim means wayward, rebellious. Shuvu banim shovavim, return my rebellious children. Yirmiyahu says, you've been rebellious. You've made mistakes. Okay, but shuvu banim shovavim, return. And Elisha ben Avuya says, what I heard is not what you heard. You heard Shuvu Banim Shovavim. What I heard was Shuvu Banim Shovavim Chutz Me'acher. Everybody can do tshuva. You can do tshuva. You can do tshuva. Except Elisha ben Avuya. Chutz Me'acher, you can't do tshuva. And that's the end of this story. Powerful, sad. Sad story. Sad story. And the question is, what is going on? What's going on? How can this be? What's going on? How is it possible for Elisha ben Avuya, hold on one second, how is it possible for Elisha ben Avuya to hear a baskol chutz me'acher? What's the story? And why would a baskol come and tell Elisha ben Avuya in the first place? You can't do tshuva. So what I'd like to do, guys, is share with you four approaches, four different explanations of this Gemara, each one of them with a message for you and for me. This time of year, our job is to make sure that Tisha B'Av becomes a day, Emirat Hashem, long before you guys have children. Your children are going to come to you, and when they're lacing up their shoes, their dancing shoes, on the 9th of Av in Yerushalayim, dancing to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to say to your kids, I remember in 2018, not 19, obviously, I remember in 2018, and before, when we used to sit on the floor and listen to Eicha, we read Eicha. And your kids are not going to believe you. Unfortunately, nobody told you guys last year to take selfies on Tisha B'Av. So you have to get it online. You're not going to be able to get this year anymore. But last year, people took pictures on Tisha B'Av to remind their kids what it used to be like. How are we going to make that happen? How are we going to turn this coming Tisha B'Av, long before this Tisha B'Av, how are we going to turn it into a day of celebration? So I want to talk about tshuva, and I want to talk about tshuva in the context of this Gemara. Four explanations. We're not going to have a chance to do everything on the source sheet, but I'll refer to a lot of it, and it's there for you if you want to look at it afterwards. I want to, and you'll see on the source sheet, you see number one, you see number two on the bottom of the first page, you see three on the top of the second page, four on the bottom of the second page, yeah? And then we'll end the Mitzvah Hashem with a little conclusion. Okay, here we go. Approach number one, explanation number one, comes from the Gra. The Gra was the Vilna Gaon, Gaon Rabbeinu Eliyahu. He died in 1797. The Gra wrote many Sfarim, and the Gra gives the following explanation, and you'll have it here. It's in his Sefer called Yahel Or, and I underline the middle of the source. Says the Vilna Gaon, approach number one. Afal Gav, says the Vilna Gaon. Afal Gav, he's first explaining the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Afal Gav, Sheshovavim Atem. The Pasuk is, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. The Pasuk is not, Shuvu Shovavim. Return you wayward people. It's Shuvu Banim Shovavim. Return my rebellious children. Says the Vilna Gaon, Afal Gav Sheshovavim Atem, even though you are rebellious, Mikol Makom Atem Banim, you're still my children. V'lachein Shuvu. And that's why you should do Tshuva. Because no matter what, you are always my children. However, says the Vilna Gaon, this is the hardest one to swallow of all the approaches, Chutz Me'acher, Shenafak Michlal Vanim. Acher, you have done things which exclude you. I can't say vanim about you anymore. I can't say one of my children anymore. 99.999% of all of Klal Yisrael, everyone that you know, everyone, is vanim. But acher, no, not acher. Shuvu vanim shovuvim. And one could ask, well, if that's the case, then why was there a Bas Kol in the first place? And it would seem that the answer to that question comes in the Rambam, towards the bottom of the first page. The Rambam doesn't ask this question about Acher. He asks a similar question about Paro. Why would Paro be told, I am going to harden your hearts if you can't do tshuva? And the Rambam, again, as you probably know, the Rambam is the one who says that there are some people, few people, whose actions are so bad, who have sunk so low that they are not able to do tshuva anymore. So why would Hashem tell Paro? And we could also ask, why would the Bas Kol tell Acher to teach everybody else? And what I would like to suggest, and this is explanation number one, but also message number one, because, chalila v'chalila, nobody here falls into this category. We've only quoted two people in the history the last 3,500 years. And yet the idea is that we cannot take tshuva for granted. Yes, everybody here can do tshuva. Yes, the mizbeach can get rust and we can do tshuva. But you gotta hear this message. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe about Paro. That's why the Bas Kol spoke to Acher. Don't take tshuva for granted. It's so easy. We're told how willing Hashem is, how eager HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to receive our tshuva. So it's very easy to say, oh, well, I'll do this and I'll do tshuva. And you know, if I don't do tshuva now, a lot of you guys are finished 12th grade. Everybody here graduated high school? Just now. Almost everybody here just graduated high school?
No.
Some people are going into 12th grade?
Yeah.
And some people are post-Israel. Oh, okay. So it's very easy, specifically guys who just graduated high school. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael in a few days, so. And then it's going to be, it's going to be a Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and all the way to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and tshuva. I'll do tshuva. There's no necessity right now. And the message perhaps is, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. You wouldn't take a relationship that you have with your wife, you wouldn't take that for granted. You wouldn't say, well, I'll do this, and I'll apologize later. No. As a matter of fact, that is one of the things that the Rambam says you're not allowed to do tshuva for. Echta v'yashuv. I'll sin, and I'll do tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'm sorry. If you sinned, heat of the moment, everyone has done it. You know what? There's always a way back. But while you're sinning, you're saying, well, I can always do tshuva. I'm going to Israel. I'm going to hear the shofar. I'll do tshuva. We all have the eligibility to do tshuva, but we cannot take tshuva for granted. It's not so simple. We cannot take advantage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed and rachamim, and we can't assume. And you see stories. Now, none of us are like this. Not chalila. We have to keep in mind not to take tshuva for granted. Explanation number one. The bottom of the page is a second explanation. I'm running out of time. I'm sorry for being a little bit late. The second explanation comes from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Yosef Dov Soloveitchik died in Erev Pesach. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach, 1993. Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik, in fact, of the four explanations, two of them are going to be from Rabbi Soloveitchik. This number two at the bottom of the first page, Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't write that much while he was alive. He was much more prolific posthumously than he was alive. That's a joke. But anyway, but it's true. Many of his Talmidim wrote more of his Torah after he died. But this comes from a Sefer that was written while he was alive. This is written by one of his Talmidim called Pinchas Peli. He also recently passed away. And this is the Sefer is called Al HaTshuva. Al HaTshuva is strongly recommended 12 months a year, not just this time of year. And in Al HaTshuva, Rabbi Soloveitchik offers the following gorgeous explanation. And we'll read the bottom of the first page. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik in Al HaTshuva on page 56. Rak hu, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. Only he, Acher, only Elisha ben Avuya. Sha'avonosav hichbidu alav. Vehirchikuhu merchak korav. Only Elisha ben Avuya, whose sins have burdened him so much, who have made him so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he and only he, Shomea Baskol Kazos, She'ena Kayetz. Only he hears a Baskol that doesn't exist, didn't exist. It's a flip side of the Vilna Gaon. There was no Baskol. There was no Baskol. Was he lying? He wasn't lying. He was lying to himself. He heard a Baskol that didn't exist. Ha'emes, he says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, She'ein chutz b'tshuva. There is no such thing as chutz. Shuvu banim shavavim. Period. There's no such thing as shuvu banim shavavim chutz me'acher. Why did he hear it? Because his yetzer hara, because of his sins, because he's so far away. He said, I can't come back. You can. No, I can't. And this is a powerful, powerful message, number two. And we think, well, that's Elisha ben Avuya. And of course, none of us, God forbid, aren't in the same league, God forbid, as Elisha ben Avuya. But we do share this with him. All of us share, to some degree or another, or I should say all of us shared at least, if not currently share, a certain fear, a certain distancing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that does not exist. As a matter of fact, if you turn to the top of the second page, I quoted the Mesilas Yesharim. If you haven't had a chance to learn the Mesilas Yesharim, you have to, I'm sure you have, I'm sure you will, get a chance, God willing, to learn Mesilas Yesharim. And in the ninth perek, he talks about Zrizus, but not just Zrizus, but the Mafsidei HaZrizus, things that prevent us from serving God with Zrizus, with alacrity, which is a nice SAT word, with speed, with excitement. The Mesilas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, died in 1746, and he tells us that one of the things that prevents us from really serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imagined fears. And everybody has them. At a certain age in our lives, everybody has them. Girls have them, guys have them, teenagers have them, young adults. Maybe when we get a little older, maybe it gets less. I can't do this. I mean, what are my friends going to say? What are they going to say? Oh, look at him. He's frimming out. He's flipping out. Nobody cares. Please don't, I don't know you, I'm sorry. Nobody looks at us as much as we think they look at us. Nobody cares as much as we think they do. Oh, Khalil, I can't, you know, if I say this, I can't. It doesn't mean anything. And if somebody does say that to you, if somebody does share their, you know, critique, then that's the kind of person, or at least that's the kind of comment that we don't care about. Who cares about it? But we do care about it. And so that slight sliver of Elisha ben Avuya is in all of us. Well, I can't do this. What do you mean you can't do this? There's no such thing. Elisha ben Avuya made it up. He didn't do it on purpose, but he was so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made it up. I can't. I don't know what an example would be. Chalila, if I start, I don't know, and I don't know you. I can't give you a good example. I'm sorry. People who know you and you yourselves could probably give better examples. I wouldn't, chas v'shalom, be so presumptuous to start guessing. But I'm sure that every single person has a certain hesitation about taking the next step, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and closer to Yirah Shamayim, and closer to Dveikus, and closer to Simchas HaChaim. And yet that one step we can't take. Chalila, what are they going to say? There's no they. There's no such thing. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And yet we think everybody cares. We think everybody's looking at us, when in reality nobody's looking at us, and the people that are looking at us are the exact people we shouldn't care about. And that's message number two from Elisha ben Avuya. There was no Baskol. So we started with the Vilna Gaon. Sure, there was a Baskol. Don't take tshuva for granted. Number two, we had Rabbi Soloveitchik. There's a relationship to the Mesilas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, Mesilas Yesharim. Nobody cares. Just keep going. There was no Baskol. Approach number three. Everyone with me? Approach number three, smack in the middle of the page. Because of time, I'm going to skip the Yerushalmi. But the Yerushalmi is about Rabbi Meir, who ultimately does, he thinks, gets Elisha ben Avuya to do tshuva on his deathbed. And instead of quoting the Marsha, I'm going to quote smack in the middle of the second page the Nesivos Shalom, Rav Shalom Noach Brzezovsky, who the Slonim Rebbe, who died in the year 2000. And the Slonim Rebbe tells us, not like the Vilna Gaon, not like Rabbi Soloveitchik, but a third approach. And he also talks about Paro, and he also talks about Acher, and this is found in Parshas Bo of the Nesivos Shalom. Says the Nesivos Shalom, yes, there was a Baskol. And yes, the Baskol said, Shuvu Banim Shovavim Chutz Me'acher. And yet, says the Nesivos Shalom, he wasn't supposed to listen. He was not supposed to listen. Because the Nesivos Shalom tells us, and again the Marsha seems to say this as well, the Nesivos Shalom says that there really are two kinds of tshuva. There's natural tshuva, maybe we'll call it easier tshuva, that every single one of us has great access to. We daven three times a day, and each time we say Slach Lanu. We daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we say Tachanun twice a day. Certain times a year we say Avinu Malkeinu. We dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's even something called Hirhure Tshuva, where all I have to do is think about Tshuva. You're probably familiar with the Gemara in Kiddushin. Don't do this, but theoretically, a guy could go to a girl and say, Harayat Mekudeshet Li, you're married to me, on the condition that I'm a tzaddik. And the Gemara Paskins, we're not going to go into halacha, but the Gemara does Paskin that what? They're married or not married? They're married, but why are they married? I know he's not a tzaddik. Says the Gemara, because maybe he did what's called Hirhure Tshuva. It's a crazy thing. Again, I don't want to get into it because Rabbi Soloveitchik in Al HaTshuva says that there's also two levels of Tshuva, one much deeper, but there's a superficial Hirhure Tshuva. And so that's all one kind of Tshuva. It is easy and it is accessible. But there is what the Slonim Rebbe calls it natural Tshuva. But the Slonim Rebbe says it's another level. And that's on the left column there. It's, in the right column. Adayin yeshet derech hatshuva ha'al tiv'it. Above nature, what we call? Supernatural, absolutely, supernatural. There's the natural and the supernatural. I'll call it the easy and the less easy. And Paro was the same way. Paro could have changed. Hashem said no. But it's incredible, and we're not going to go into it, because again, for time, but Paro wasn't supposed to listen. Acher wasn't supposed to listen. You're said you can't do tshuva, the door is closed, so push even harder. I'll say parenthetically, there's a unit in the Israeli army, which I'm sure you've heard of, called Golani. Golani. Golani is the guys with the yellow tag with the green tree on them. And the reputation that they enjoy is being like particular tough guys. So the motto of paratroopers in the Israeli army is Im lo bekoach, az bemoach, which is a play on words. It's a rhyme, right? If we can't do it with strength, az bemoach, then we'll do it with our brain. So the Golani, who likes being, you know, tough guys, their motto, probably unofficially, their motto is Im lo bekoach, az ba'od yoter koach. You know, you can't slam through the wall, so keep slamming through the wall. If you can't do it with strength, then you do it with more strength. It's crazy, but lahavdil, that's what the Nesivos Shalom is saying. So tshuva, you can't do tshuva, that means you got to try even harder. And this is also, and that's what Acher should have done. And why was he told, why did the Baskol come out and say, you can't do tshuva? To teach Acher, then try harder. You're right. This is a little harder for you. And by the way, every single one of us has that in our tshuva lives as well. There are certain things that I'm not working on. I worked on it, I'm done. Am I a tzaddik? No. I'm just older than you or just have a different makeup than you do. And you're going crazy about this, and I'm not. And guess what? There's things that I'm going crazy about, and you're not. So for some things, you have a brick wall to break through, and I don't. And for some things, I have a brick wall, and you don't. Every one of us has brick walls we have to smash through. Acher had a brick wall. And the Baskol said, you're not coming in. Acher was supposed to not listen. And that's message number three, explanation number three of this Gemara. We all have that. We got to keep working. It's hard. There's an element that's easy. But that's kind of tshuva we don't get schar for. The kind of tshuva we get schar for is the hard sweat. That's the tshuva that we get the schar for. Okay. We've seen three explanations in this Gemara. We saw the Vilna Gaon. We saw Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's the Nesivo Shalom. Again, I'm speeding a little bit. And I want to do a fourth explanation on the bottom of the second page. And again, it's Rabbi Soloveitchik. Again, it's Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, died in 1993. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says something also just... It's glorious. What can I tell you? It's gorgeous. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and this is not in Al HaTshuva, it's a completely different answer, in a sefer called Chamesh Drashot. You probably have it in the Beis Medrash, but I printed it for you here. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, let's read, there's two separate sections. We'll read the bottom, the very bottom, the last three lines on page two. Shuvu banim shovuvim shuva Yisrael chutz me'acher, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, explanation number four. Kavanat habat kol haita. Ki Elisha yashlich me'alav et acher. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that what was the Bas Kol saying? This is so brilliant. The Bas Kol did not say, Shuvu banim shovavim chutz me'alisha ben avuya. What the Bas Kol said was, Shuvu banim shovavim, chutz me'acher. And what the Bas Kol was telling Elisha ben Avuya was, yashlich me'alav es ha'acher. Divorce yourself of the acher part of you. Separate yourself from the acher part of you. Et ha'ishiyut ha'zara. Ishiyut in Hebrew means? Anybody? Personality. Zara means avodah zara. What does zara mean? Zar? Foreign. Some people say foreign. The foreign personality. Divorce yourself from the foreign personality. Yistayeg means retreat, pull back from. Yistayeg mizehut hasheker shelo. Retreat from his, he was being told to get away from his false identity. Bo Eli, come to me, Ben Shovav. Yes, rebellious child, come to me. But, hisha'er et acher bachutz. Leave acher outside. It is so gorgeous. You cannot do tshuva. There's two people here. You thought it was one person. I thought it was one person. Everybody thought it was one person. It's two people. There's an Elisha and there's an acher. And Elisha ben Avuya was so wound up in his sin that Elisha ben Avuya thought it was the same person. I am Acher. I am the guy who speaks Lashon Hara, I don't care what. I'm the guy who doesn't daven. I'm the guy that doesn't make brachos. I'm the guy that doesn't wear tzitzis. I didn't say I sometimes don't. Or I don't. No, I am. I thought it's a part of me. And says the Bas Kol, it's not you. Neshama shenasata bi tahora. It's pure. It's whole. It's holy, and it's true and real. Elisha ben Avuya, come inside. Come back, but don't take acher with you, please.
It seems to fit in with the idea that.
Say a little louder, please.
It seems to fit in with the idea that the reason that tshuva works is that when we do tshuva, we become a new person.
Outstanding. What's your name?
Avi.
Avi, outstanding. The Rambam. You're quoting the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Amazing. The Rambam says that ultimate tshuva, and everyone knows that the Rambam, it is the Rambam too, that ultimate tshuva is being in the same situation. But the Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva tells us what you just said, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu could testify, says the Rambam, it's not me anymore. Before, I was the guy that spoke Lashon Hara. I'm a new person. Exactly what you said. Separate. It's not the same person. Yes, there are certain things that have been pasted onto you. Yes, you've done some things over your lives. All everyone has. Tshuva is coming back to the real you. Amazing, Avi. Exactly correct. Tshuva is coming back to the real you. And so, yes, shuvu banim shovavim, including Elisha ben Avuya, but chutz me'acher. acher, separate. It's so beautiful. Separate yourself. It's a much deeper kind of tshuva than the kind we were talking about before. It's a new kind of person. I can do it. You can do it. Everybody can do it, including acher, including Elisha ben Avuya. And I'd like, with your permission, with a couple more minutes left, with everything we've been talking about, I'm sorry that I went a little bit quickly, but everything we've said so far, I just want to end with one idea from Rav Kook. You can't have a shir without Rav Kook. Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, he died in 1935. If you think about it for a minute, he hasn't seen anything that you and I have seen in Eretz Yisrael. He died 13 years before the State of Israel was founded. He hasn't seen anything we saw, unfortunately. Rav Kook was the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of British Mandate Palestine. And Rav Kook says the following beautiful idea. In the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, we'll read it in a few weeks, in Mitzvah Shem, all of us in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to read about, and please listen carefully, just give me 60 seconds. We're going to read about what's called Vidui Ma'asros. You know that we have a seven-year cycle, Shemitah cycle, the seventh year. We don't give any trumos, no ma'asros. But you know that in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth year, we all give truma to a Kohen. We know that a Kohen has to give part of that to a Levi. That's called Shumas Maaser. We know that in year one and two, and in year four and five, we have to give Maaser Sheni. Yes, everyone so far? And we also know that in years three and six, we have to give Maaser Ani. Good. But we know from the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, when I have it on the top of the third page, we have, I should say, the middle of the third page, in Perek Kafav, we know that there is that I have to go at the end of the third year and at the end of the sixth year, and I have to declare that I did everything correctly. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel in the middle of the page. V'amarti lifnei Hashem Elokecha biyarti hakodesh min habayit v'gam nesati la'levi v'lager la'yason v'la'almana kechol mitzvascha asher tzivisani. I did it all correctly. Lo avarti mitzvasecha, lo shachachti. I didn't do anything wrong. Lo achalti voni mimenu, lo viyarti mimenu betamei. I had to declare in the Beis HaMikdash, I did everything correctly. And what do Chazal call this? Vidui ma'asos. And all of the mefarshim, there's like six different, should be a different shir in itself, but like six different explanations. Vidui ma'asos? Vidui is standing 365 days a year if we need to, but certainly during Slichos and certainly on Yom Kippur. Al chei shechatanu lepanecha, avinu malkeinu, slachla. That's Vidui. Imagine getting up on Yom Kippur and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I admit that I never stole any money. Very nice. And what are you doing Vidui? Vidui masos. Everyone hear the question? Why in heaven's name would it be called and please WhatsApp me if you're interested in hearing some of the other explanations. There's literally something like six exercises of Sfarno. Beautiful ideas. Beautiful ideas. But the Rav Kook has the following idea. Again, why in heaven's name would Chazal call this declaration that I did everything right? So call it a declaration. When it comes to Bikurim, I have something called Mikra Bikurim. A declaration, so we say it on Pesach night, right? So let's have Mikra Masros, getting up and just declaring. Why would Chazal call it Vidui Masros? And I think it's a very powerful Dvar Torah, and I feel like it has to be said after everything we said so far, and then we'll end in Davamayr. Says Rav Kook, again, Rav Avi Mitzchak HaKohen Kook, died in 1935. Says Rav Kook, of course, Vidui, and most of Vidui, is the painful verbal declaration. Rambam said it has to be bepeh. No one's supposed to hear it for a variety of reasons, but I have to hear it. It has to become real. I have to say, asiti kach v'kach, that's the Rambam's lashon. Part of vidui is declaring what I've done wrong. The majority, most of vidui, is declaring what I've done wrong. However, says Rav Kook, and it's so powerful to hear it after all the shitos that we just learned about with Elisha ben Avuya, says Rav Kook, part of Vidui, part of me telling God that I've done wrong, part and parcel of that is that I'm not all bad. That I recognize and I declare to myself, and I declare out loud, I'm not all bad. Lo avarti mi mitzvasecha v'lo shachachti. Yes, I've made mistakes. I have. I made mistakes. But I'm not all bad. I'm not all bad. And you can feel all bad when you've gone through Elul and Rosh Hashanah and certainly Shivasa Batamuz and part of Tisha B'Av again. Part of Tisha B'Av is also Tshuva. And all the fast days and Slichos and again Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm mamish terrible. I'm dirt. I'm worthless. There's nothing good. I've been saying vidui for 40 days now, let alone 365 days, let alone how many decades have we been saying slichos. And says Rav Kook, yeah, of course, you can't run away from it. You're not going to sugarcoat it. You're not a tzaddik. None of us are. But you're also not terrible, chalila, chalila. You're not Elisha ben Avuya, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Vidui, an element of vidui, yes and yes and yes. An element of vidui is saying, I'm not all bad. I've done some things right. And it's healthy and it's good. And it's important to say, I've done things right. And so Emir Tzah Hashem, all of us should try to incorporate, myself included, all of us should try to incorporate what the Vilna Gaon said and what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, certainly what the Slonim Rebbe said, absolutely. But we also have to incorporate what Rav Kook says. We've made mistakes. We have to face the music. We have to change ourselves. As Avi said, we've got to be somebody else, which is really ourselves. To come back to really ourselves. And having said that, we have to recognize and realize, Chalila, you're not all bad. Kal Yisrael's not all bad. I'm not all bad. And with that, Emir Tzah Hashem, we will indeed be dancing Emir Tzah Hashem this coming Tisha B'Av. Shkoyach, guys.